Hello, and welcome to the Healing No Filter podcast. I'm your host, Laura Renner. I'm an author, a nurse, and frankly, someone who's been through a whole lot. I'm here to provide you with a weekly dose of relatable, no-nonsense methods for healing your mind, body, and all things trauma-related. Now let's dive in. Hi, friends. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have a really important topic to share that I've gotten a lot of questions about lately, and that is how to find the right therapist. I started seeing therapists early in high school and have consistently seen some type of therapist and done some type of therapy for the majority of my life. I talk a lot about my experience over the past 3 years with various therapists in my book, and I share how some of them were really amazing and helped guide me to truly profound healing. And I also talked about, one particular experience with a therapist who downright just didn't work for me. She traumatized me, didn't support me, and basically just acted in an inappropriate way to support someone with trauma. She helped me rediscover repressed memories of abuse in my childhood. And even though I was obviously panicked and overwhelmingly obviously in fight or flight, she kept pushing me to go further instead of helping to calm my mind, calm my nervous system, and help me process what was happening in that moment. And that shit fucked me up big time. Thankfully, at the time, I had other great therapists, though, who were able to support me and help me process that experience. But also, I shouldn't have been put in that position in the first place. A therapist is supposed to guide you, to heal, to listen, to give you support, not re-traumatize you. And unfortunately, throughout my many years of therapy, I've had others trigger me or blatantly not listen or not pay attention at all to what I'm saying. I've been cut off and told, oh, we don't have time to go into big issues like that today. I've had multiple therapists who I just didn't feel were really there for me. I've had some that I just didn't feel comfortable opening up to. I've even had some who pressured me to keep making appointments because, in their words, I needed them, which made me, of course, feel broken and dependent and even guilty that I wasn't putting even more into therapy, which is also wild because this was at a time in 2022 when I was seeing 3 to 4 therapists and doing different types of therapies each week. So that was a big fuck you to me at that point. And unfortunately, a few months ago, I had a straight up awful experience with a new therapist and a new therapy that I was considering. And legit, this person could not have made it any worse. So I was considering ketamine therapy, which has been shown to help significantly with anxiety and PTSD. I was looking for something new and feeling like my anxiety was just kind of getting the better of me. And I was looking for a change and something different. So I found this place. I filled out this giant questionnaire where I went through all the ins and outs of my medical history, my psych history, what I've done in the past and what I'm currently doing, my goals with therapy and what I was looking for to heal and much more. One thing that I wrote down on this questionnaire in multiple places was how I have a history of feeling like I'm not being listened to by therapists, particularly ones providing medication. So I was very hesitant to go down this path. So backstory, when I was 16, I saw a psychiatrist who I was seeing for anxiety and depression, and I would see him for 15 minutes every week or every other week to talk about what was working. I was seeing him frequently, but not feeling much of a difference with meds, but also it was really a short period of time where all this was happening. So with each visit, he would add more meds, literally each visit, 1 or 2 meds. So first I started on Prozac for anxiety and depression and Ritalin for my ADHD. Then he added Xanax for anxiety and fast-acting Klonopin for panic attacks and then Seroquel for sleep. And then he'd increase the doses and then switch the Ritalin to Concerta and just all this other shit. It was happening so quickly. And mind you, all of this was over just a couple months when I was 16. I was 16 years old. I was seeing a psychologist also at the time for talk therapy and counseling, which personally I didn't love her. I didn't feel like I could fully open up to her. So together, this shit was not working for me. And what happened was I felt really dead inside, super numb, exhausted, kind of zombie-like, but also it just wasn't helping my anxiety. This really just wasn't doing what I was there for it to do. So I told my mom I didn't want to be on all these meds anymore. And at my next appointment with the psychiatrist, I told him I felt like a zombie and I feel like I'm on too many meds and it wasn't working. So he just said, okay, just stop taking them, all of them. Not taper, just straight up stop taking them. So tapering off of psych meds is standard practice to allow your brain to adjust to not having these medications that, you know, impact the neurotransmitters in your brain. So psych meds create neurochemical changes in the brain. So if you taper, you can slowly start adapting chemically and adjusting the neurotransmitter levels within your brain. But when you just shut down the source without a taper, it can lead to all kinds of bad shit, like withdrawal symptoms and rebound symptoms, which, guess what? I, of course, developed rebound symptoms. My anxiety and depression got insanely unmanageable. And I unfortunately started having suicidal ideation, which this could have all been avoided. For one, I was just having meds thrown at me instead of exploring the why. Why? Why was the 16-year-old requiring all these meds? Not, you know, why was none of this helping? It's because I had childhood trauma. I was being completely mismanaged. But also, this could have ended my life. You know, thankfully it didn't. But this was my first time with, you know, taking medication. I was 16 and I didn't know better. I assumed he knew what he was doing, you know, managing a teenager on psych meds. I assumed that I could feel safe under this person's care. But that was wrong. It was super incorrect. I, you know, briefly tried taking other anti-anxiety meds in high school and college at really desperate times for me, but I was really scarred from that experience and felt that they weren't really helping me or supporting me. So I just stopped and frankly just self-medicated with weed and alcohol. And that was just the only thing I felt safe doing given my experience. So after my TBI, when I was put on Lamictal, which is an anti-epileptic to prevent more seizures, I developed Stevens-Johnson syndrome, a rare and potentially life-threatening reaction. So I had to abruptly stop taking that medication as well and change to a different one. But unfortunately, Lamictal is a mood stabilizer that's used to treat bipolar disorder. So again, shouldn't be abruptly stopped. But in this case, I had no choice. I had to for my health. So if you know, at the time with the Stevens-Johnson's syndrome, I had developed significant rashes, breakdown of my gums and lips. I had conjunctivitis in my eyes and chest pain, like it got bad. So I had to abruptly stop. I really just didn't have a choice there. But of course, because of that abrupt stopping and no taper, I went into a mini psychosis. I was having 10 plus panic attacks a day. I was having auditory hallucinations, hearing people in my condo. I called the police on myself a few times in a panic, but then hung up thinking, you know, they'd admit me and put me on a psych hold because I wasn't sure if there were actually people in my house or not. Yeah, it was bad. And during this time, I kept calling my neurologist and my PCP. And so my neurologist was the prescriber of Lamictal. And I was explaining how I was having these extremely unmanageable anxiety and I was having 10 plus panic attacks a day. And I was almost in tears every time I was on the phone because I was so desperate. And he literally said, there's no way that you're having that many panic attacks in a day. Cool. Also, what the fuck? He, you know, super reluctantly prescribed me clonazepam for anxiety because I kept calling and kept just being in this desperate place. But he also said multiple times how it is used for seizures and can screw with my seizure threshold. And I might have more seizures and, you know, all that bad shit. So I needed to come off of this as soon as possible. So now I'm worried, not just about, you know, having another seizure, but I'm also feeling guilty and ashamed that I'm even asking for this medication. I feel like I'm, you know, making a poor decision and potentially putting my health at risk based on what this person is saying to me. And so my PCP, I couldn't get in for a couple of weeks to see, which felt like an eternity. Even though, you know, this really should have been a more urgent appointment, but I just wasn't able to get in. That's the way it goes sometimes. So after a few weeks of being on the clonazepam, feeling like I needed to come off that immediately, I saw my PCP and he put me on Lexapro, which is an SSRI. So he listened, you know, he always has tried to help, which I appreciate, but it didn't do shit for me. And I actually know now that SSRIs do not work for me. A specialty neurologist reviewed my brain mapping many months after this, you know, when I started neurofeedback, and said, SSRIs given my brain are likely to make my anxiety worse, which they always did. They never helped. They always made me feel worse, which also made me feel crazy. Love that. I also did a test called GeneSight, which is a genetic test for psych meds that tells you which psych medications are better suited for you based on your genetics and also which ones to avoid, because you're more likely to have increased, you know, side effects or interact poorly with due to your genetics. And guess what? I don't react well with SSRIs. So unshockingly, Lexapro didn't do it for me. So moral of the story is, not only did these medications just not work for me, but I also had just terrible experiences with them in its entirety. I didn't feel supported. I didn't feel listened to. I felt shamed. And they just straight up didn't work for me. And it made me just feel crazy and that nothing would work for me. So back to the original story, me seeking out a potential medication route with ketamine therapy was really scary. This took a lot of, you know, discussing with my counseling therapist and really kind of working my way up to, because I was really nervous. I had such a bad history with this, but I was still wanting to be open to it and give it a try. I knew there was so much great research and statistics supporting that this really worked for people with PTSD and anxiety and a lot of other things. So again, filled out this super intense, super detailed intake form questionnaire, explaining my hesitance and experience with past providers, not feeling listened to, all of this in detail. But the intake provider did not give a shit. She read it for the first time during her hour-long appointment, and she would literally, as she was looking through it, ask me a question, and with no exaggeration, she interrupted every single answer of mine with another question, which clearly indicates you're not listening to me because you already have your next question loaded and you're literally saying it before I'm even done talking. So already don't feel supported. She also started throwing all these recommendations at me about my bone health and supplements I should take for my nutrition and how I should change my workouts and how I should take CBD and all of these other things that I didn't ask her for. She was just throwing this shit at me. Which, mind you, my bone health is covered by another doctor. My nutrition is covered by another doctor. And CBD interacts with my current seizure meds. So I literally can't take that. So like you've already lost your, you know, reputability with me. And she also just, well, her appointment was supposed to be an hour. She wrapped it up in less than 40 minutes. I think it was actually like a little over 30. I truly just broke down and started to cry pretty early on because I was just so frustrated. I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. I kept trying to cut her off so I could share my story and explain how this is a problem for me, that she's not listening to me, but she didn't fucking care. It was crazy that I was trying to voice my concerns about not being listened to, but she still wasn't listening to me. It was just wild. And I just felt so defeated. I was kind of in shock because I was like, I don't know what to do here. I'm trying to advocate for myself, but this isn't working. And this is just triggering me and making me feel stupid and worse. I was super fucking anxious. So I just left. And the second I got in my car, started crying. And I just once again felt completely disregarded, that this person who didn't know me or my complex health history at all, and she's just, you know, throwing all this shit at me about what I'm doing wrong and how I should be doing things better for my mental and physical health, and that the guidance of my current, you know, doctors and therapists were wrong, which is truly fucking crazy for this person who doesn't even know me. So, of course, after crying and feeling all kinds of frustration and shame and like I'm this huge problem, I got fucking mad. I was so angry that not only that did that happen to me, but this probably happens to a lot of people. They get fucking hammer questioned at their intake appointments instead of being listened to and supported. This is something that probably happens all the time, which sucks. And like me, this deters people from treatment. This deters people from getting the therapy that they need. And that's super unfortunate. You know, in hindsight, I of course wish I had just, you know, been like, fuck you, bitch, and left, or had, you know, really spoken up more. But I was so triggered, and it just brought up kind of this, you know, younger part of myself that felt like I had to just take it because I was wrong, even though I wasn't. It just felt that way, and it felt like there wasn't a way to change my reaction in that moment. So now that I'm far removed, I think it's really important to talk about tips to kind of avoid these situations, but also just kind of through my past experiences. Of course, I just led with a lot of the bad ones. However, I have had so many really good ones. And I think it's so important to know that just because you have one bad experience does not mean that they're all going to be like that. So I really wanted to give some tips about my experience, about how to find the right therapist and therapy for that matter. So first, I think it's super important to just get really clear on what you're looking for. Are you looking to reduce your anxiety? Are you looking to manage stress better, improve depression, and feel more happy? Are you looking to heal childhood trauma or limiting beliefs from your childhood? Are you trying to just be more mindful and connected to your body? are you, you know, just going through a really tough time right now? Or did you experience, you know, like an acute loss or grief that you need help processing? Or are you just noticing kind of generally you're losing interest in things that you once loved and did all the time, and you're just confused about why you're not feeling like yourself and you just don't know why? Of course, it can be more than just one thing, but I think it's really important to get clear on what it is that you're looking for support and guidance with to help guide you finding the right therapy and therapist. So next, I love a good Google search. I highly recommend doing that and just see what comes up. So now that you have, you know, what you're clear on, type that into Google and just see where it takes you. What are the recommended types of therapy that are helpful for what you're looking to try and heal or get help with? There's, you know, hundreds of types of therapies, maybe even thousands. I don't know, but there's at least hundreds. And, you know, maybe you're looking for some, you know, counseling or cognitive behavioral therapy to change some unhelpful thought patterns and behaviors that you keep experiencing. Or maybe you're looking for something like EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, to heal memories from your past that you're not sure what exactly is going on, but you know that it's impacting you in your adult life. Maybe you're looking for somatic therapy to heal trauma within your body. You know, there's so many different options out there. So see what's out there, see what your options are, and see what sounds best for you. You know, as you're looking, just see like, ooh, like this sounds good. This sounds like a good place to start, or this sounds like it will help resolve what's going on with me, or ooh, these are the changes that I'm looking for, and it looks like this is a good therapy to help me get there. Then see what therapists are in your area or in your network. If you're going through insurance, read reviews, read bios, read testimonials, get as much information as you can to see if this person feels like a right fit for you. I'll say oftentimes for me, I've gone the recommendation route, but when I get recommended a therapist, I always still look at reviews, look at their bio, look at, you know, their experience, the things that they do, to see, does this feel like a click or not? Because if it doesn't, no point even wasting your time. Of course, you know, there's also virtual options, which I personally love as well. So I love virtual therapy, but it's not for everyone, and it's not for every type of therapy, I will say. A few of my therapists are still local, but sometimes I'll see them virtually, and that works for me. But also know that if you're going the virtual route, going to want to ensure that you have privacy within your home or wherever you're doing it, so you can really open up during your session. Because if you're not, you know, in a living situation, or maybe you do it in your car, I don't know, I've done that before, but you need to be in a place where you can truly be private so that you feel comfortable opening up. Because if you're not, then you're really just going to be scratching the surface here. So again, so also, you know, asking for recommendations from people or other, you know, therapists or healthcare providers that you trust, and see where that takes you. But again, you know, get as much information, wow, I can't talk right now, as you possibly can to really get a good assessment for, is this person a good fit for you or not? This is, you know, I think a really comprehensive way to just start really getting a good idea about, ooh, this really feels right, whether it's the therapist, the therapy, and just kind of opening up those doors to start really just seeing what your options are to find a good fit for you. Because again, finding a good fit for you is so important, because you need to feel safe, you need to feel comfortable, and be able to truly open up so that you do get the resolutions or the healing that you're desiring. So next, you know, I recommend a lot of places offer initial consultations. Not everyone, depending on the type of therapy that you do, but sometimes they'll do a quick consultation where you can, you know, talk to the person for 15 minutes or more about the therapy, the therapist, and see if it feels like a fit for you and your needs. Or just reach out to this person and see if they'd be willing to chat with you, or see if, you know, they're feeling like they're going to work for you. And if the thought of that stresses you out, don't do that. That's okay. Just go off their website and bio and reviews and testimonials to see if this person feels like a good fit. If you do speak with them, pay attention. I think this is really important, to how you feel, what your instincts are telling you about them. So I've had a couple of consultation calls where I just don't get a good vibe. I don't know what it is. It's not that I'm not feeling listened to. It's not that I'm not feeling safe. It's like, this person just doesn't feel like a fit for me. And that's okay. That's totally fine. You don't have to have a, you know, seemingly rational reason. I think that's important to just go off of your instincts. And then, of course, when it's time to have your first appointment, remind yourself that this is your therapy session. You do not have to continue. You can stop at any point if something doesn't feel right for you. If you feel like this person isn't listening and you're not in a place where, you know, you feel comfortable speaking up and say that, just say that you're not interested in continuing. If you're not, you know, feeling supported or you're feeling judged, you don't have to continue. I have had that in the past where I felt judged and it sucks. It's like, cool, you're not supposed to judge me. And then, you know, you just kind of spin in your brain, like, does this mean I really am crazy or there really is something wrong with me if you're judging me? But it doesn't. It's just, you know, you're getting a reflection of something from the thoughts or the feelings of this person, and it's not working for you. You're just not compatible with them, and that's okay. It's really important to have compatibility and safety and security and comfort levels there. So also, you know, taking into account communication. If they're not communicating with you in a way that you're understanding or that feels good to you, or again, that makes you feel safe or secure, then just move on. Because if you're not comfortable communicating in a way that you can fully open up and be honest about what's going on with you, then again, you're just scratching the surface. You're not going to get that deep levels of healing that you're seeking. Also, with that in mind, unfortunately, I will say it may take some trial and error and some time, but that doesn't mean you aren't going to find someone that works for you. I have tried multiple therapists where I've, you know, never returned after the first session, or I gave it a couple sessions or a few weeks or even a few months and realized that I didn't want to work with this person anymore. Whether it was that I didn't feel like much was changing, I wasn't making much progress, I didn't like their therapeutic styles, I wasn't seeing any movement towards the changes I was seeking, I didn't feel like we were really kind of getting to the levels that I was desiring. That's okay. You don't owe someone a certain amount of sessions. So I also highly recommend, because sometimes they'll say, oh, if you buy this number of sessions, you get a discount. At the beginning, I highly recommend not doing that, because if you're stuck, you know, with 10 sessions with this person and you're finding out at session 2 or 3 that, like, shit, they suck. They're not helping me. This isn't working for me. They're not making me feel listened to or valid or whatever in my feelings. That's not great, because then you're kind of stuck with them for 7 sessions. Maybe you could, you know, navigate a refund or something like that. But just at the beginning, I think it's really important to kind of walk really carefully with it and just see, kind of move slowly with this person and see where that takes you. So, you know, again, with the, you don't owe someone a certain amount of their time in sessions. So it's really important to remember, okay, like, just because they're trying to make an appointment with me, like, you don't have to keep doing that. I'm someone who always felt like, oh, okay, well, I should. They're telling me that I should. But no, that doesn't mean it. If you don't feel right getting help from this person or working with this person and giving them your time and money and, you know, helping towards your healing and health, then fuck off. Tell them to fuck off, or maybe not, but at least at minimum, stop continuing with this person. Because you're investing your time, your money, and you're investing in yourself and someone else to help you with your mental health. So you shouldn't feel obligated to continue if it's not working for you. I'm totally someone who in the past has felt like, yeah, I should do this. Like, I've maybe not felt totally right with the person, but just like, I know that this is something I should be doing. I know this is something that's good for me. So I just keep doing it anyways. But in hindsight, it wasn't the best fit. I should have just pulled out way earlier and found a different therapist and found a different person, because it was a lot of time and money spent not really moving the needle in the direction that I was hoping for. So I also think it can be a little complex with deciphering the line, in my opinion, between being open-minded to, you know, a new person, new communication, new therapy, and also protecting your mental health and time and energy. If it's a brand new therapy, if it feels right to give it a few weeks or a couple months to see how you feel, cool. But also, you know, it's important to keep in mind that you may be making significant changes in, or if you're making significant changes to, you know, your behavior or your thought patterns and things like that, and healing your body and mind, that will take time naturally. So it is important to take that into account, that if you are doing something like somatic therapy, for instance, or craniosacral therapy, it is really slow of a process, because you are creating that level of safety and security for your body and your nervous system. That's not something that just happens in one session. You know, there are therapies like rapid resolution therapy, where you can go for a specific problem and have it, you know, resolved by the end of that session. But with other therapies, it really does take time. So you do also have to take that into account. So that is kind of a fine balance that you just kind of have to assess by researching the therapy, researching the therapist, their recommendations, and also just what's feeling right for you. But again, taking it back to my experiences, though, it have not been great. If this person is not listening, or they make you feel uncomfortable or unsafe or unwelcome or whatever, frankly, and it just doesn't sit right, don't continue. Find another therapist within that modality or another one and see if it was just that therapist that wasn't working for you and that person specifically, because not everyone's going to work with everyone well. We're all individuals. So it's about finding that individual who works best with someone like you. When I first started craniosacral therapy, actually, I didn't love my therapist. I didn't hate her, but I didn't love her. I didn't feel like she was the best fit. She would, you know, occasionally make some comments that made me feel not fully believed. I worked with her for about 2 months and decided to move on. Like, she would just kind of make some kind of statements like, oh, that's weird, I've never seen that before, which was like, okay, that doesn't make me feel great. Or other things would happen where she would just say stuff where I was like, oh, I don't feel like you're actually listening to me. She would talk about other patients, which felt super inappropriate and stuff like that. And so I felt like it was time to move on. So I ended up actually many months later having another craniosacral therapist recommended to me, and I decided to give it a try again because the research just showed, and it was really, this was probably a really good fit for me. It's really good for your nervous system. It's really good type of somatic therapy that's really great for trauma. So I really just wanted to see, was it the therapy or the therapist? And it was totally the therapist because this new person was fucking amazing. I've actually been seeing her pretty consistently for about a year and a half, and she has been super helpful in my healing. So know that trial and error is a part of it. So giving it time when appropriate is a big part of it. So you can find the right person and modality, and also listen to your instincts when you feel it's time to close that door with that person, and know that that's okay. Don't beat yourself up about it, because that is unfortunately a natural part of the process. The ball is always in your court here. Keep that in mind. This is your therapy experience. You get to decide who you work with and who supports you and who guides you during your healing. That is of utmost importance to remember. So I really wanted to share my experiences that were not the best, of course. So that way, if you do, you know, find you're maybe paired with a bad therapist, someone you don't love, and you're not having a great experience, you don't have to shut that door completely. I have bounced back after my negative therapy experiences, and I've still been able to heal. I've still been able to find people to work with who support me, who don't pressure me or make me feel bad about myself. And to find those people and have them in your corner is fucking huge. I love my therapy team. The people that I've found are ride or dies for me. They've been incredibly supportive and have helped me heal so many things and get through so many hard things in my life. So I think it's really important to keep that in mind, that just because you have a bad experience doesn't mean that they're all going to be bad. It doesn't mean that you should give up or feel ashamed or feel like therapy doesn't work for you. It's really important to give it a chance, because I think it's something we can all benefit from in some way or another. So that's all I got today. Thank you, as always, for listening. I appreciate you so much. And I really hope that this helps you. If you're someone considering therapy, you know, reach out to me. Send me a DM on Instagram. I'm happy to kind of talk you through my process and give you kind of some websites and different resources to kind of help you get started. And, you know, if this did help you out, I would love if you would leave me a rating and review. That helps me so much to reach more people, which is my ultimate goal here. So thanks again, and I will see you next time.